Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't think when they were pacing us, they definitely didn't have any problem. That was something that kind of threw us off a little bit, that up tempo. But towards the end of the game, our crowd was definitely hyped.
Let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan, live from our Green Tree Studios. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you till about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show, and it's the start of a new day. Brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 504 on a Monday morning, and another victory Monday for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they get the 23-17 win over the Arizona Cardinals in the desert. And you heard Joe Hayden there to open up the show talking about, at the end of that clip, our crowd coming through at the end. And yes, this game was played in Arizona, but our crowd came through, as in the Steelers fans. And I'm sure you saw, you heard them all day long on the broadcast, and you saw all the terrible towels in attendance yesterday. It was that kind of game for the Steelers, another West Coast game in which the fan base shows up big. And I thought it was another survive and advance, or another survive and charge ahead game and win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What it's been like all season long, right? Ever since Ben Roethlisberger went down, it's been just get through however you can to win ball games, and that's exactly what the Steelers did once again yesterday in Arizona, getting this win, and they avoided the awful start to the game that they've had over the past few weeks, not scoring in the first quarter of the last 3 weeks coming in, and really all season long have had issues in the first quarter and starting ball games, and it was not that yesterday. I thought the first defensive drive was a tone setter, and it essentially ended with Kyler Murray on a 2nd and 15 trying to get the edge, get out of the pocket, and Big Bud Dupree, who had himself a day, just not letting him get away and getting to that edge before Kyler Murray could. And here's Bud Dupree.
Definitely. You know, we had a couple of times where we kind of got kind of nervous because he was scrambling a lot. You know, we kind of stopped our rushes, but for the most part, I think we did a good job of containing them, you know, trying to put pressure on him.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, if you look at the stat sheet, had 6 carries in this game for 2 yards. Just a whole element of his game eliminated by this Steeler defense and trying to get out of the pocket and make plays with his legs. And Jeff Schwartz, who is a former NFL offensive lineman, joins the Fan Morning Show at 7:30 every Friday. He said it, and he nailed it on Friday, saying that Kyler Murray just doesn't play quite as fast as you'd want him to, or you'd expect him to, or that Lamar Jackson does. And you definitely saw that yesterday, and that he couldn't gain the edge on a guy like Bud Dupree and was scrambling around but just couldn't get that gain that ground to make plays down the field. And then the Steelers got something they really haven't all year long outside of a fake punt interception, and that was a special teams splash play. Deontay Johnson arriving onto the scene for what was the first big play of his big day for the Steelers. And Deontay, in returning that punt for a touchdown, if Ryan Switzer's Steelers career wasn't over already, one would think that he pretty much ended it with that play. And then the one drive where the Cardinals' offense was effective before the half and tied the game up, that's where things could have gotten away. There's always moments, I feel like, throughout these games, at least for me, over the last couple weeks where I think, oh, here we go. This might be where this team takes the momentum and where the Steelers can't really get it back and they don't have enough firepower to get back in this game. And that's where yesterday I thought, okay, maybe this turns into a Tomlin special in the past. Instead, the Steelers get a field goal before the half. It's 13-10, and the game doesn't get away. And then you go into the second half where there's, again, moments where I think the game can really turn and get away from them. And it was more of the theme of looking like this could turn into a Tomlin special, where it was brewing early in that third quarter. They allowed a fake punt to be converted, And I thought, okay, this is more of Arizona coming out of the gates now in the second half and getting the momentum right away. It felt like it was going to be a scoring drive from there, but I've got to train myself not to think that way with this Steeler defense, because every time they're in moments like that, it feels like this team takeaway comes alive. And that time it was Joe Hayden with his first of two interceptions on the day to kind of turn things back over the Steelers' way. And that is the main difference this year, is that anytime you feel the momentum swinging back toward the other team, it's the defense that comes up big, whether it's with a takeaway or a big stop. At least that's been so for the past few weeks now. And that's led to this 8-5 record for the Steelers. And I thought Duck Hodges' best throw of the day was that touchdown in the corner to Deontay Johnson to make it 20-10. It had to be accurate. It had to be well-timed with the defender right on his hip. And it was a great throw and catch. And those are the kinds of plays I'd argue we only saw it a couple of times through multiple weeks from Mason Rudolph. He just didn't make that play. Just didn't make that throw. And Duck Hodges didn't do a whole lot in this game, but that was definitely, I thought, his best throw of the day, and it was the most important because it put them up by 10 points in that second half. And then the weirdest play of the day was the fake punt. When I first saw it, I thought, you know what, maybe Jordan Berry, maybe he panicked somehow. Maybe he screwed up the call. Maybe there was some kind of miscommunication, and it was all on him. And I was convinced, in just looking at all of the replays, that that was the case. But then I'm pouring through the sound this morning, and I didn't catch a whole lot of post-game press conferences and stuff, and I kind of rely on the sound that we have here at the station to know what guys said after the game. And Mike Tomlin, I run across, a mindset on fake punt. Oh, I'm very interested to hear what he says here. Here's what Mike Tomlin said about that.
They had a six-man box. They had one gunner vice. They had two returners deep. We had decent numbers. We worked it during the week, but they executed better than we did. Kudos to them.
Now, the Steelers won this game. I know. It's 23-17. I'm not going to belabor this point here. But Mike Tomlin is telling me here that they intended to go for a fake punt from their own 40-yard line on a 4th-and-6 with 8:13 left, up by 10, and you call a fake punt. I mean, I understand what he's saying there about the look that they liked, about six men in the box or whatever, but I would say, and maybe if they convert it there, we praise him for his aggressiveness or whatever. I mean, I don't even know if we do that because the situation just, it didn't make any sense. But sometimes, even if the look is there, why take the risk? Why up 10 with 8 minutes left on a 4th-and-6 from your 40-yard line are you risking it there with a fake punt? It just didn't make much sense for me. But as things progressed in that second half and as the game closed out, I thought two things came to the forefront that got the Steelers the win. And it was that Duck made the necessary plays. And again, if you look at the stat sheet, it's not going to blow you away, and it never does with Duck Hodges. 16 of 19, 152 yards, and a touchdown. But he also didn't have any interceptions. It was that don't kill us game again from Duck Hodges, and he made the necessary plays down the stretch, again, to win the Steelers a ball game. That touchdown pass to Deontay Johnson, also getting out of the pocket and making some plays with his legs, more so than Kyler Murray did on the other side. And I think that's the other thing that came to the forefront as this game wound down, was that Kyler Murray got more and more overwhelmed, I thought, by the moment as desperation set in. As he was fighting the clock and fighting the scoreboard, he was forcing the ball down the field, bailing out of the pocket maybe a little bit too soon and wasn't able to make the plays down the field. And Hodges was better than Murray in that second half. As far as individual performances, the running backs, a little bit weird of a rotation, I thought, with Benny Snell, a little bit of a rookie setback with his fumble and just not a great day overall. Kareth White just won't go away in a good way in this offense. 5 carries, 41 yards, had just as many yards on 5 carries as Benny Snell did on 16, and he looks like he'll have a role in this offense, at least until James Conner comes back, and why not with the way he's playing? And Jalen Samuels used as that hybrid maybe should be used in the passing game just a little bit more. And Mike Tomlin talked about using four running backs in this game.
It's just the way we're constructed right now, man. You know, we got all hands on deck, you know, and we're getting to know Kay White and some of the things he's capable of doing. And we got a decent mix right now. Those guys complementing each other. And so we're going to stay in this mode, you know, until we're back at full strength.
Not only the running backs, but Deion Kane, another guy that just hangs around in this offense that's depleted of weapons, makes about a play a game, and he made another play yesterday. And it's just what you wanted and just what you expected coming in for the Steelers. You knew, at least I thought, that it was going to be a close game, but the Steelers were going to end up on top, and that's exactly what played out. And now it's what you wanted, and that the Steelers and Bills are battling it out for the fifth seed in the AFC playoffs. And if you don't think that the fifth seed is important, or if it's a big deal to be at the fifth seed spot, then the sixth seed. Coming up next, I'll tell you why, exactly why, it is very, very important based off of what played out yesterday around the NFL. Plus, my big three takeaways from this Steelers win over the Cardinals and a question of the day to wrap things up. That's all on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. If you're up this early, you probably missed what happened late last night, as well as maybe some other things you didn't catch in the NFL from yesterday. Let's go over it all. All right, first, last night, Sunday Night Football, LA Rams at home against the Seattle Seahawks, and all of a sudden the Rams are playing like they should have played all season long. In fact, that's exactly what Aaron Donald said after this game as they get the 28-12 win over Seattle. Hand the Seahawks their third loss of the season after Seattle was riding high. People thought maybe they're the best team in the NFC after what they did on Monday night last week against the Minnesota Vikings, and they kind of laid an egg against the LA Rams last night. Russell Wilson, 22 of 36, no touchdowns, and an interception. And then Jared Goff on the other side significantly outplayed him. 22 of 31, 293 yards. Had a couple of touchdowns, also threw a pick six as well, but the Rams were up 21-3 at one point, so it really wasn't close at all with the Rams getting the win over the Seahawks last night in the NFC. That was kind of a what's happening there kind of game on that side. And then you look at the AFC, and the Patriots lose again, and another sign of the Patriots' downfall of their empire, right? They lose 23-16 to Kansas City, and the difference here for me is at home they lose this game, 23-16 to Kansas City. That just doesn't happen with New England. They don't lose games at home in December. Maybe there is a difference there. I'm not going to be the guy that says it's over and that I don't believe in New England once it comes playoff time. That's just, I don't know if anything that happens the rest of the way in this regular season, they could finish the year 10-6. And that's, I think, but they're 10-3 right now. Yes, they could lose the rest of their game and then maybe get into a wild card game at 10-6. And I'd still, if they're in the playoffs, I still wouldn't bet against them in any of those games getting to the Super Bowl. But it's looking more and more like New England just doesn't have it this year. And another sign yesterday. And going to Ravens and Bills, if you missed that game, the early game, 24-17, Baltimore gets the win over Buffalo. And the Bills, they hung in there. They didn't get blown off the field. Although that linebacker got juked out of his shoes by Lamar Jackson, they hung in there against the Ravens. And it's kind of a half mea culpa, I guess, for me of where Buffalo is. I thought they'd fall off by now. I didn't think they'd be in this position where they're playing right there with the Baltimore Ravens, and they're still in that fifth spot at 9-4. I didn't think they'd get to this point, but they still might be a fraudulent team in the end. But I know this, they are going to be a humongous challenge for the Steelers next week. And it all happened the way that you wanted it to yesterday, with the Steelers getting the win, finding a way to win against the Cardinals, and the Bills falling to the Ravens, where now next week on Sunday night, it's a battle for the fifth seed between the Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the fifth seed is humongous right now in the AFC based off of what happened yesterday. So if you didn't catch it, the Texans, who are in the fourth seed right now at 8-5, leading the AFC South, lost to Denver 38-24. The Denver Broncos, 38-24. This is coming off a week in which they just beat the New England Patriots. You never know what you're going to get from the Texans. And I'd much rather face the Texans than face maybe New England if they fall back into that fourth spot, because they still have the Bills, so they could still lose four games and fall to 12-4 and then behind Kansas City, because Kansas City has four losses right now. So if Kansas City wins out and the Patriots lose one more game, they'd fall into that fourth seed and Kansas City would jump them. So I'd much rather see the Texans over both Kansas City and New England. And you'd face that four seed if you're the five seed in the playoffs, of course. Now, the question might be, who's more dangerous, the Tennessee Titans or the Houston Texans? Because Tennessee, with Josh Jacobs out for Oakland, beat up on the Raiders 42-21, and now they're tied with the Texans at 8-5 in that AFC South. So the Texans right now out of the playoff race, but could get themselves into it with by winning that division, winning the AFC South over the Texans, and those two teams match up, I believe, twice the rest of the way. So they'll have their opportunities to jump them in that in the standings. And so which team do you want more, the Texans or the Titans? It might come down to that. But the fifth seed to avoid playing the Kansas City Chiefs is humongous. To not be that sixth seed matched up against the three to face either probably the Chiefs or the Patriots. The Chiefs beating New England yesterday, 23-16 again at Gillette Stadium. Patrick Mahomes, you know all the offensive weapons there. And so it's just more and more stakes piling on for Sunday night and Bills and Steelers. Coming up next, my big three takeaways from yesterday's win over the Cardinals to apply to next week and to apply to the rest of the regular season, and then a question of the day to wrap things up. That's all next. It is the Fan Morning, or the Fan Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. The Fan Morning Show, of course, coming your way after this, 6 to 10 today, 7 o'clock. Ed Bouchette joins the show, our Steelers insider, to help wrap things up. And then 8:27 today, the weekly hit for Pitt head coach Jeff Capel, as his boys, you know, not much you can do against number one team in the country, I guess. A 64-46 loss to Louisville on Friday, but Coach will join the show at 8:27 today. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 529 on your Monday morning. The Steelers with a 23-17 win over the Arizona Cardinals, still that sixth seed in the AFC playoffs, still have themselves set up in a really good position, especially with what they've dealt with, what they're rolling out on the field every single Sunday. And I give three big takeaways from the win over the Arizona Cardinals from yesterday. All right, here we go. The first one for me is that maybe the Steelers have two number two wide receivers on this roster. I mean, if I'm starting to look beyond this season, even though this season is very much still alive, and the Steelers are very much in the playoff hunt and will probably get there in my mind. Beyond this season, when Juju Smith-Schuster is healthy and Ben Roethlisberger comes back, assuming he does, you know, you always kind of look at the arsenal here and what kind of weapons he has to work with. And I think the past couple weeks now, James Washington and Deontay Johnson have kind of passed the improvement back and forth of, you know, which guy do you think will be the number two behind Juju Smith-Schuster? And it's, you know, for a couple weeks now, it was James Washington, and you thought there was a relationship and a connection developed with Duck Hodges since he's taken over. And then yesterday, it was all Deontay Johnson. By far, I thought his best game of his career to this point. Six catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown, and then that punt return for the touchdown as well. And every big play was made by Deontay Johnson offensively. Whenever they needed a first down, whenever they needed something to come through for them, it was either Deon Kane, who makes another catch down the field, and seems like he's good for one play a game, and it was Deontay Johnson. And Mike Tomlin talking about Deontay Johnson's bounce back over the last couple weeks.
He's a rookie, you know. Days like today are days that we like. Last week, we don't. We'll see what next week holds. It's important, not only him, but all of those guys, be ascending guys here in the month of December. And we've been thoughtful about that in terms of their exposure. You know, in September, we didn't play them a lot of snaps. You know, we've managed the growth of guys like Deontay and Benny Snell and Devin Bush because we want them to be guys on the rise down the stretch and not guys that are dying on the vine.
Dying on the vine. Deontay Johnson certainly is not dying on the vine. And you do kind of lose sight that he is a rookie because he's been forced into such a pivotal role in this offense. But the arrow pointing up, obviously, for Deontay Johnson. And maybe the Steelers have two number twos behind Juju Smith-Schuster with both him and James Washington. The second takeaway for me from this game, if we're talking about arrows pointing up, the arrow definitely pointing up for both Joe Hayden and this secondary as a whole. I think they're still improving to this point in the season. They've gotten better and better and better, and Joe Hayden has gotten better and better and better. He's a veteran guy, the leader of this secondary, and a guy who's raising his game as the season gets later. That's exactly what you want from him. Another two interceptions. Yesterday, he's been all over the field, and he's making those timely plays. You saw the interception to end the game against Cleveland. You see two more in this game against Arizona. Joe Hayden coming up big for this defense. More and more playmakers coming through for the Steelers' defense. Bud Dupree was a monster again yesterday. What's curious to me, though, and you heard Mike Tomlin mention him in that last clip, is Devin Bush, who, if you look at the stat sheet, had just two tackles on the day. And over the last couple weeks has been rather invisible. I mean, he's still there. I think he's still in good position, and he's not doesn't look like he's getting burned on plays and doesn't look like he's completely dazed or confused, but just is kind of resting in the background. And that's a very good thing if the Steelers defense is playing as good as it has. And you don't need a guy like Devin Bush to be that guy. Maybe he was earlier in the year where he's taking the ball away and that he's very noticeable. Bush has kind of hung around in the background and the Steelers defense hasn't missed a beat. So the secondary and Joe Hayden heating up. Number two, my big three takeaways. And then the final one, Duck just does it. Was it even really about him? Not really. I mean, he had 152 passing yards. Was he the catalyst? Was he the guy that really charged this offense ahead, and was he the difference in this ball game? I'd argue in the second half, in a lot of ways he was, because he didn't turn the ball over and he made the plays necessary to win the game. But the plan clearly isn't going to change with him at quarterback. He's never going to open it up, quote unquote, unless the Steelers are really down like they were against Cleveland. This was the opportunity for them to really release Duck Hodges and to make him throw more down the field and throwing more volume. He only had 19 pass attempts yesterday against the worst passing defense in the NFL. This is what you're going to get out of Duck Hodges. And you know what? I think he's okay with it.
I mean, I definitely think there's a lot of confidence. You know, we've been winning some games, but at the same time, I mean, we've been doing a good job at taking it one week at a time, one game at a time. And, you know, now we, you know, celebrate a little bit, and then, you know, we got to worry about next week and next week only.
It's going to be more of this. It's going to be more of the close games, no matter who the opponent. And so far, you know what? It's worked. And he's shown to do just enough. And you can't, at least I don't want to praise him like up and down for his performances, because he doesn't wow you, but he does do everything it takes to win a game. He gets out of the pocket. He makes plays with his legs. He makes big throws in big moments, things that Mason Rudolph just didn't do, especially in the last couple weeks before he was benched, and that has been the difference. I don't know how long this takes them, how far it takes them with Duck Hodges in this formula, but until it doesn't work, you can't bash it too much. Question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show: does this win make you think the Steelers can beat the Bills on Sunday night? Already looking toward next week, does this win in the way in which they did it against Arizona? Does it, and what seeing what the Bills did against the Ravens and just hanging around, do you think the Steelers will beat the Bills on Sunday night? Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in McMurray. Get to Sun now for some serious savings during their year-end model sales event today. Mild with occasional rain and a high of 56, and then tonight, cloudy with rain ending and mild again and a low of 46. The pre-show is on the way.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.